If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips, them just give hypertension. Got some old fashioned itch, do a tilted back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24/7.
Try on going you garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because the state of the health of summer,
we mine is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bread. Real talk, that gear wanna sell, nah?
And now it's time for Healthline from now until 7:30 with the best wishes of the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados. Let's say good evening to this evening's host, Emmanuel Joseph.
Good evening, Larry, and good evening, all our listeners. Welcome to Healthline. It's really an exciting moment for me because whenever I can make a contribution to making our world, our country, a better place, I'll hold up my hand. So let's get right to it because this is a short time, an hour flies like lightning. So we have an esteemed panel of young people because this evening you'll be hearing the voice of the young people. And our lineup of esteemed young people, they have various expertise and they will be sharing this evening on the theme, our young people deserve better. Our young people deserve better. So let's tell you who these young people are. Janae Eiffel, now she is a nutritionist and she works part-time for the Healthy Caribbean Coalition. So she's very familiar with the Childhood Obesity Prevention Project. And she's also a member of our Coalition Youth Subcommittee. Abigail Johnson, a medical student and was the sole youth representative during the School Nutrition Policy Stakeholders Consultation and a member of our Coalition Youth Subcommittee. Stephanie Whiteman is a member of the Healthy Caribbean Coalition's youth grouping, and she's currently doing research on the foodscape in Barbados. And finally, but by all means least, Miles Smith, he's a medical student as well, and he has been very involved in youth activity, and he's the immediate past president of the United Youth Leaders of Barbados and a member of our Coalition Youth Subcommittee. Remember, you, the audience, will have an opportunity to call in and ask questions and make your comments. So the number you will call is 434-1790. That's 434-170. We will repeat that as we go along. As we said, the theme is our young people deserve better. And when we talk about young people deserving better, we are talking about things like a better school environment and the importance of the front of package warning labels in alignment with the civil society's policy for school nutrition policy and mandatory octagonal front of package warning labels. They deserve better because it's the adults who are feeding the young people with a lot of unhealthy stuff when they advertise all of these unhealthy foods. So the young people will have their say this evening, so let's get right to it. And let's look first of all at the challenges of the childhood obesity and NCDs and the real impact they will have on the future of our nation and the future of our nation, as they always say, are our young people. So let's put this question to Janae Eiffel. And let's look at the challenges that the NCDs and obesity will have on the future of the nation and the future of the young people.
All right, good night, everybody, and good night, Emmanuel. You did such an amazing introduction and you touched on a lot of things that I hope the four of us are able to go into detail about. Childhood obesity and NCDs, it is a real thing. And it is a time which sometimes when you sit and think about it, it's very saddening to think that children who are, let's say, under 18 are now suffering with the same conditions that older persons suffered with before. Can you imagine, Emmanuel, a 10-year-old with blood pressure issues, or having diabetes, having to control or be mindful of the way that they eat, or we have to be focusing more on telling them to be active. This is not supposed to be our norm. Our children should always be outside. We should always be like we are focusing on the health of the children. This should be the norm. And to think that we have to focus on or specifically talk about this is an issue in itself.
Okay, so Abigail.
You said I am a nutritionist, and a couple times a week, I'm seeing children who are overweight or obese are having to change the way that they're eating because of what we have to be faced with in the supermarkets. Like our front of package warning labels. To me, those things are so important for people who don't completely understand our food labels.
Thank you so much, Janaya. And let's hear from Abigail now. You are a medical student, and you were involved in the school nutrition policy stakeholders consultation. So you should have some big contribution to make on this issue of the challenges that face our young people, our nation, with respect to obesity and NCDs.
Hi, Gunnar Emmanuel, and thank you. And I think it goes a bit beyond what you would have initially mentioned there. It's not something that's simply going to affect us in the future. It's something that is affecting us now. And that is the unfortunate reality. As Janaya would have just mentioned, there's no way you should see 10, 15-year-olds missing school because they're at the hospital about 3 or so times a week, getting dialysis 3 hours because they have diabetes. So I think one of the issues that needs to be tackled is the lack of support that we as young persons are getting for this issue that we're facing. The lack of implementation of policy when it's absolutely necessary. Childhood obesity is running rampant in our population. We're given statistics and saying 1 in 3 young people are either overweight or obese. And yet, what is the response? What is being done to combat this problem? And I think currently, what is being done is subpar. And we need to do better, young people, because we deserve better. They deserve better.
So, Abigail, before we go on to Stephanie, do you know anyone that suffers from some form of NCD or that is obese?
Absolutely. I myself have asthma, and I think there's probably only one single person in my family who doesn't suffer from asthma, but in addition to asthma, there are so many young persons who are suffering from diabetes. They have hypertension. They have kidney problems. So I think when we think, these were things that we initially thought of as, you get this in your old age, but we're seeing the impact, the negative impact, highlighting that it is negative. The negative impact that is being had on young people today. So yeah, for sure. It's not something that we are immune to. And persons that you may not even expect to suffer are suffering.
Right. So you have a story to tell. You can tell it from a realistic point of view, but you have also an NCD. So Stephanie, being a member of the Healthy Caribbean Coalition Youth Grouping, what are some of the things that you have discovered with respect to obesity and NCDs?
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me tonight on this panel. Well, first and foremost, I am a researcher, so I'll be wearing my dad hat a lot tonight. And what I'll say is that, yes, 1 in 3 children in Barbados and across the Caribbean are overweight and obese, but that's not the be-all and end-all. You know, recent studies have shown that our fruits and vegetable intakes in children and adults are vastly inadequate. We're not meeting that 5 servings a day, which has been shown to improve health.
I think Stephanie might have dropped out there a bit. And while Stephanie tries to get back in, are you there, Stephanie? Okay, so what I want us to do and keep in mind as we discuss this issue, I want you to think about this point of reference and put it in the back of your mind or the front of your mind as we go along, that it's estimated that 83% of the deaths in Barbados are caused by NCDs. Now, think about that sobering statistic. 83% is almost the entire population. Because when we look at a population of nearly 300,000, 83%, that is crazy. So let's go on. Stephanie, are you there? So let's look at what Miles Smith, our brother medical student, has to say about this issue. Miles?
Good night. Thank you for having me. One thing that I would like to also mention would be the emotional aspect that is affecting young persons that may have obesity, that may be obese or they have other NCDs, is that they is a thing, right? Unfortunately so. And these young persons more often than not have their weight at the forefront of when they are being picked on. So that's one thing that's affecting young persons now, and that can have implications later on in life, affecting their self-esteem, their self-worth. And I don't think that that should be happening, but it is. Another thing is that when we look at also mentioning the front of packaging, is that one thing a lot of persons don't fully understand some of the things that are put on these labels. So it may sound technical, it may sound decent, but it isn't necessarily healthy for you, right? So these things, these are just some small things that add up to the bigger picture that later on in life, you have a person that are just okay taking whatever because they have a big fancy scientific label, or going back to the emotional aspect, persons that have low self-esteem, these things can affect their lifestyles as well. So these are just besides the medical aspect, is that the whole the lifestyle of these persons are also affected. And we as young people have to deal with these things that we shouldn't be dealing with. We should be happy going around with a caring world. As my mother would like to say, all you gotta do is worry about school, right? Just get your education. But these are other things that kind of weigh on our minds. Our mental aspect also comes into that. Thank you.
Okay, Miles. We will take a break here, and when we come back, we will look at what should be put in place to help build back and make things better for our young people going forward. We'll be back.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips. Them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch. Do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed. Steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going your garden. I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez, oh, bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell, nah?
Thank you so much. We are back again with the Healthline, brought to you with the compliments of the Heart and the Stroke Foundation. And at this point, we will look at what can be put in place to make things better for young people with respect to these non-communicable diseases. And let's go back to Stephanie, since she's joined us again. Stephanie, what do you think can be put in place to help make things better for the young people going forward? Because you're the future.
Yes. And there are a number of ways we can tackle childhood obesity and NCDs for them children. And one of the ways, of course, is front of package labeling. And yes, what exactly is front of package labeling? And exactly what we're talking about is labelings or food labels that will go at the front of a food item, a prepackaged food item, that will state in clear, plain English if an item is high in saturated fats, high in sugars, or high in sodium. And the most recent data actually that happened in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, showed that those products that had the warning labels, those front of package warning labels, were better suited for shoppers to identify the most helpful items or at least the least harmful option I think that's one policy that we should enable in Barbados. There is, that will be, parents will be able to identify the most helpful or the least or least harmful option. And children will also be able to identify which food items would be best for them, because they will be stated in plain English in as much as three words: high in sodium, high in sugar, high in fat. Another options for international initiatives that we should put in place within these schools. And when we're thinking about schools, is now because of COVID, we're not just thinking about the physical school environment. Yes, we need to tackle what's in the canteens and limiting the amount of ultra-processed foods that are in the that are in the canteens in the school, and limiting the amount of sugar sweetened beverages within the canteens in school. But even more so now within schools in the online environment, we need to be able to educate children and their parents on the type of food options and healthy snack options that the children can have while they're in online school. And I think now is a perfect opportunity for that, and to implement policies like that, to encourage or implement programs like that, to encourage and show parents and students the kinds of foods and the kinds of snacks they can have during the breaks, so they're not snacking on unhealthy foods. Because now when we're in a time where we have to be inside and the amount of physical activity we can get are limited to that in our homes, we really need to ensure that we're eating the best possible foods we can. So I think those are like the two main, or two or three, I think I listed three main policy options we could look into in Barbados.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. And remember, you, the audience, you can call us at 434-1790. That's 434-1790. And, you know, Barbados is a country that imports a lot of processed foods, canned foods and packaged foods. And you, Stephanie, you have done some research in the area of the foodscape of Barbados. And what can you tell us about what you have discovered in your research with respect to this matter?
Well, currently that research is ongoing as part of my doctoral thesis, where we're going into various food stores, restaurants in Barbados, and looking at the availability of healthy foods. And though we're still, data collection for that is still ongoing, what I can say so far is that there isn't much availability of a wide variety of fruits and vegetables in terms of the variety, I guess. There aren't as much variety, especially when we go into the non-urban, quote-unquote, parts of Barbados. So in the major places, yes, there are some, but if you go into the further out places, places that are not necessarily in the core of where Bridgetown is or in the major populated areas, those persons that live in those parishes that are not heavily populated may fall within that catchment of stores and supermarkets that don't necessarily have a wide variety of fruits and vegetables and other healthy options to begin with. And if there are no stores that have those options available to them, how else are they supposed to eat healthily? If they only will have to travel very far, and then we have to take into account whether or not persons have access to these places, to these stores. So my research is then to identify the areas in Barbados that need the extra help, that need places and need more food stores that have healthy available options for the persons that live in those communities.
Okay.
So stay tuned within the next year or so and for the full results.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. So Janaya and Abigail and Miles, you can intervene at any point in time, because we're having a conversation. This is like a fireside chat. But I want to share something with you that I discovered this week when I was on a discussion with Dr. Joseph Herbert. And he said that there was a study carried out, and it shocked him that a lot of the salt that we consume is found in biscuits and other baked products. And they thought that they were found in all these processed foods, but they found that lot of the salt, or much of the salt, can be found in biscuits consumed by us, and we Barbados are the bread society. Anyone want to chime in here on that issue?
Emmanuel, that it would be quite interesting, and I think that's something I myself would have to look into. I do know Barbadians, we like to flavor the pot. So I know that's where majority of our salt comes in. But for you to tell me biscuits and so forth, no, I would have to look into see if that's a real contributor. And maybe Stephanie will be able to say. But what I do want to mention, though, or more emphasize, is to piggyback on Stephanie a bit when she was talking about the FOPWL. And it's really that we want to push it a lot. A lot of people do not understand how to read labels. The average person doesn't understand labels. So if we can get this type of packaging out there where it's simple, either high fat, low salt, etc., simple. We are in we have a diet, our lifestyle, where a lot of our meals are low fiber, high fat, low sodium, high calorie, the perfect mix for the NCDs and childhood obesity. So for us to have this packaging, it can really help us.
So what, any of you can add to this, so what do you think should be done to change the environment within our school system that can help accommodate healthier living, considering that we use a lot of salt, and our young people, I guess, when they take up a product, they don't really look at the labels, they don't read the labels, they just know it is a particular product and they take it and eat it.
I'll jump in there, Emmanuel, and it goes beyond the snacks that you eat and the beverages that you drink, and it even entails the food that we offer in the school environment, how they are prepared, what options do you have. When I went to school, which maybe it was a little while ago, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, the options that you had, maybe macaroni pie, you had chicken and chips, you had this that was fried in. That was fried in oil, this something else that was fried in oil, and something else. So I think that it stems from how we prepare the food. So that is one thing that we need to consider. And I know there have been, in a sense, workshops to help train canteen staffs and how to better prepare food or to prepare food in more healthier ways and using healthier alternatives. So I think that is one method that can be utilized in the schools. Of course, then there is the making water accessible, decreasing the amount of sugar sweetened beverages that are offered in the school environment so that the healthy option is there. Oftentimes, if there is the unhealthy and there is the unhealthy is appealing. And persons will choose the unhealthy option. So if we take away the unhealthy option, children are more, they're going to take what is there. And that is what is beneficial for them. So those are some of the things that can be done in the school environment that can better, the health of young people. But we definitely also need that school nutrition policy to be enforced so that the behaviors can be regulated and so that there is a standard set. And you can have an impact on all of the young people in Barbados and not at a specific school or in a specific household.
Anybody want to chime in there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
One thing I just wanted to add to Abigail is we also have to educate parents as well. It has to be part of the conversation. You can go ahead, Miles.
Right. So what I want to add would be that we could add or increase the prevalence of gardening in schools. So that, I know that I saw George Lemming from school, they had started an initiative where they did the gardening at the school and they were getting the children involved in it. And I think that's very important, starting from young, they start to get involved in the growing of their own foods and getting that food that they grow implemented into the meals that they make. So that can even be transmitted to home, right? One thing that I have gotten into, sparked by the COVID pandemic, is that I do a lot of home gardening. So I have some chives, I have some thyme, I have some other things that I grow, and I use that in my cooking.
Wow.
That can help. Yes, it's great. I love it, actually. It's very therapeutic. And I think that can help to, one, reduce the cost, because a lot of the times we have one thing that's mentioned a lot is that it's healthy, but is it affordable? So a lot of the times sometimes they may be a bit more on the expensive side. So if you grow them at home, you can cut down on that grocery price. If you have access, you can try selling it. That's one thing that we could start to push for more in schools as well as in home. Another thing is going to the labeling, making the labeling more attractive, right? So that children, when they see something pretty, it automatically go towards it. So if you have an attractive labeling, let's say on something like that. Using colors so that you attract them to certain elements within the labeling. So they say, okay, this particular product has this amount of fat, this amount of sugar, yada yada yada. So that person, their eyes automatically jump towards that. I didn't know, okay. So this to get people in practice of reading the labels much more often, starting from young. It's always you always should be starting from young with these things, because it has such a huge impact later on in life.
Thank you, Miles. We'll take a break and we'll be back in just a moment.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips. Them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch. Do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed. Steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going your garden. I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer, we mind is alarming.
Jeez, bread. Real talk, that gear one of sells, nah?
Welcome back to Healthline. Now we are talking health, we are talking NCDs, we are talking obesity. I want to continue on this issue of the front of package labeling and labeling, period. You know what the wealthy marketers and the companies and the manufacturers, they have a lot of money to spend. So they go big. So what are some of the simple things, do you think, any of you can answer this, that we can do apart from the backyard gardening to entice our young people to go healthy, to go fresh?
I'll jump in and say that I think one thing that can be done is more education so that persons understand how their action and how their action and can lead to certain effects and impacts are not often good. But I think, as persons would have said, you know, you may not know how to read the food chart or what the case is. And for me, truthfully, I can understand that. If somebody was to tell me they were 196 centimeters, that would confuse my head. Unless you told me you were 5 foot this or 6 foot that. Yeah. I probably would not make sense of it. And that's just because I'm not familiar with the system. So I think educating young persons on how to read nutrition labels, how unhealthy foods impact your health, effects that they can have, not just short term, but long term. So I think education can go a long way. However, I know that education is not always going to be a solution to action. But education can play a major role in combating the childhood obesity problem that we're facing currently. That's one solution, at least.
Yeah, remember, you the audience, you can call and you can ask your questions and make your comments at 434-1790. That's 434-1790. And as we explore this front of package labeling, because this is critical, because hitherto, would go and I will just take up a product, and just because of the name of the product, I just take it up and go to the cashier and I go on. These days, I'm reading every single thing on that. I know why, because of the awareness building that has been going on with the Heart and Stroke Foundation and the Coalition and other civil society organizations. So you made a very important point. Education, awareness is critical. They are all critical. So the octagonal front of package label, the industry they're not giving us much support. What will you say to them at this point in time?
Well, I would say, Emmanuel, it's to consider your future, consider our future and the future of our children. To me, have some sense of heart and understand that we are not only impacting the people here, but we're impacting the lives of people, the quality of life, I should say, of our 5-year-olds now and our 10-year-olds now. We don't want that when they get into 30s and 40s that they're suffering with things that could have been easily avoided. It's just a matter of maybe reformulating and using the labeling to encourage healthy eating.
Thank you.
I'll second what Jania said, and just to big companies, the health of Barbadian citizens, the health of Barbadian young people must supersede that of making a profit. That is simply that.
Yeah, because you know what? If you have an unhealthy population and unhealthy workforce, you can have a lot of absenteeism, productivity goes down, and it can lead to businesses closing down. So business people and all these multi-million dollar conglomerates and so on that are pushing unhealthy food, they must consider these things. It's not just about the mighty dollar. Any other contributions before we go to the lines? And remember, you can call us at 434-1790. That's 434-1790.
Yes, I would like to add one more thing. And I agree with everything that Janae and Abigail have said thus far. But what I would like to add for our producers and manufacturers in Barbados, these same big, and as well as for the manufacturers that we import from, front of package labeling is nothing extremely new. Yes, it is new, but they have been doing it for other countries within the region and within Latin America. So if they can do it for the bigger countries, why can't they do it for us, or smaller countries? We deserve the same amount of respect from them as they do the other countries. Chile has already implemented front of package world warning label, and they have gotten great success. So has Mexico. So I think it's time for them to respect us, the smaller countries, just as much as they respect those bigger countries as well.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a caller on the line?
Hello.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Healthline.
Thank you, sir. Yes, please. I'm so glad that you have this program on. And, you know, with the issue of obesity with children, I think we have to remember that children are not the ones responsible for preparing their own meals. And that I don't want to sound judgmental, but I suspect that a lot of parents have become lazy in the type of meals that they prepare for their children. And I think that fast foods, you know, they can be a treat, but they should not become like the regular, like, you know, so often, and all the soft drinks that you guys would, you know, often talk about. And parents should encourage their children to drink more water. And if I may add, like, you know, like in our times growing up, kids were encouraged to play, you know, run around. But nowadays, when children play, you know, they're often encouraged to sit down in front of the tablet or the Nintendos or whatever. And, you know, they're often accused of being hyper. So it is almost like a catch-22 situation. Am I making sense?
You are. And therefore, our message must be focused a lot on the adults and the parents.
Yes, please. And if I may add, I heard one of the, because I joined the program late, I really wanted to join it early, but I joined the program late. You know, the whole issue of marketing, there's a book, I wouldn't name the author of the book, but this book is so interesting. It talks about the levels that the people who market these foods that they go to, and even the preparation of the foods that these, I think, I'm not sure if she said the scientists, but they sit down and in these foods, they create something called a bliss factor. So the children's taste buds, and even us as adults, some of the things we eat, you know, you develop this, you acquire this taste for this particular food, and therefore you want to have it more and more and more. And if you tend to see that, they say when you go to supermarkets, there are certain foods that they keep close to the cash register. So you find yourself automatically reaching for it because it catches your eye just at the last minute, you know. So, I mean, this topic is so deep, and while I find the front of labeling issue very interesting, what I saw, that black labeling, it looks kind of unattractive. So it looks almost like you're saying this thing is poisonous. And what you want to say, well, you know, you have to encourage persons to be interested in what they put in their bodies. I still don't think, for me personally, that I would want to see a food with the black. How it looks to me, it doesn't look like it's something that I want to see in front of something that I want to put in my body. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yes. So, yes. That is why earlier one of our contributors, or one of our panelists, said we're looking at the appeal, and
yes,
I suggested
please.
That we can use some colors.
Yes.
You know, more color.
Yes, yeah. Please. But overall, you have to drive home to the parents that eating properly is important, because health is important. Because in their time, the lifestyle wasn't as sedentary as it is. So parents, our generations before, they used to walk more, there was more exercise. But now the kids, they don't have that. So it's very hard on kids to be taking medication for diabetes and putting their lives at risk for such a young and tender age. And, you know, so that is my contribution for the evening. And I just want to encourage you guys to keep the good work up and, you know, encourage the whole of Barbados to just promote healthier lifestyles for each and every one of us. You know, a healthier Barbados, better for all of us.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Do you have another call on the line? Yes, another call on the line. Welcome to Health Line. You are on the air.
Peace be unto you and yours, Mr. Joseph.
Thank
and
you.
And to your distinguished panel. And a very, very good program, especially educating us and enlightening the young people about their health. I must say that a lot of parents is to blame, especially when children are obese, because a lot of them allow them to tell them what they should eat and what they want. And you see all these very important restaurants when they come full of kids, you know. And some of them want the parents good food, but they don't want it, so they're doing 2 and 3 pops. Another thing is, too, that what the things that you're supposed to eat, every time you go to the supermarket, the prices is going up. The important foods we're supposed to eat, and that is something that they need to look at. They are telling us eat healthy, but the healthy foods cost a lot of money. You know? So.
Yeah, but you can do your own little gardening. I mean,
yes, you can do your own little garden, Mr. Ellis, but you can't grow everything. And to do your own little garden, everything, and can grow the next day or whatever, sometimes you got weeks to wait on certain food. So you still got a bunch of things. I grow my little garden too, but sometimes I have to wait on certain things. So, they need to do something. The healthy foods, they need to curb the price on them. They need to do that. Anyhow, very interesting program. Keep the good work up.
Thank you so much. No other callers yet. And remember, it's 434.
Hi, Emmanuel. I'd like to say something to follow up on two things that the first caller and the second caller would have said. So with regards to the first caller, I totally agree with her. And I think when we're looking at in the supermarkets, it's not just, yes, the pricing of food and the availability of the fruits and vegetables and healthy options are in the supermarkets. A lot also has to do with the placement of the food items. And as she said at the beginning, as you enter the supermarket or right when you're exiting, they tend to have those ultra-processed foods, those high sugar snacks, those high salty snacks right at the cashier. Or right as soon as you walk into the supermarket, you see the big signs of what's on sale. And almost always it's those ultra-processed foods that's on sale. So it also has to do with the layout of the supermarket and how that affects our perception and how that affects our decision making when we're buying foods within the supermarkets. With regards to the second caller, I think we have to, in our minds in the Caribbean, you know, we have to take our minds away from healthy eating and eating healthy vegetables. It's not just the imported vegetables. We have a ton of very healthy vegetables that can be grown locally, and we can support our local farmers and shopping at the local farmers markets and the local markets to eat the vegetables that can be grown, and those local foods are way cheaper than the imported vegetables. So just because you're eating locally grown foods doesn't mean you're eating unhealthily. And just because something or a vegetable is imported means it's any better than a vegetable that is locally grown. The point is we need to just consume our vegetables, whether it be imported or locally grown. And that's one way to combat the high prices of vegetables or fruits that are in the supermarkets or in the shops, is to eat local.
Right. That's the point I was about to make to the caller, because we know you can't grow everything, but every little bit counts. And you can shop around. There are places that you can shop around to and get reasonable prices for healthy foods. So it's just a question of will. Go ahead.
And I would also like to add on a bit to Stephanie as well, in that if every household in Barbados, we just have one garden, it can just be a half tub, a blue tub, cut it in half, and you grow your lettuce, kale, spinach, some people have tomatoes. And if every household does that, every neighbor in the neighborhood, people can exchange what they have. And that not only helps nourish your body, but it's also cutting costs, as well as being outside, getting in some movement. And then we're always hearing about vitamin D to help build our immune system. We are outside and we can now get this vitamin D for free. So it is a full package if you just start one gardening bin.
Right. So go ahead.
Emmanuel, before you continue, I think one thing that I just for us to think about before we go to commercial break is how expensive is healthy living as compared to unhealthy living? When you actually compare the prices, how much are they different?
Okay, that's a good point. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back with Healthline.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system. Cut them off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties and salty chips, them just give hypertension. Get some old fashioned itch, do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed, steady watching movies like 24/7. Try on going you garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because the state of the health of summer, we mine is alarming.
Jeez on bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell.
Welcome back to Healthline. And before we took the break, it was suggested that we look a little closer at this issue of price comparisons, the healthy foods versus the unhealthy foods. So since you mooted it, you go ahead and let's hear what your take is.
For me personally, I don't do as much shopping as some, so I stand corrected, but I think it's often, I wouldn't say an excuse, but it is often a reason that is given to, in a sense, do away with healthy eating, is that it is expensive, is you can't afford it, but I think it comes with our connotations of what healthy eating is. It also comes with what the price, what the things that we assume we have to get. If you look at, say, a bag of apples as compared to maybe a box of cereal that is full of sugar, which is cheaper. But I don't think we make the comparison like that. You think of it, but I think that is one thing you have to consider when you're thinking about healthy eating. Is compare it to what you normally buy, and how do the prices differ?
That is a very good point. Please, can someone else, can you all elaborate on this? Come on, let's elaborate on this. Yeah, Miles, let Miles go ahead.
Yes, to also bounce off what Abigail was saying, one thing, just to offer a small solution, one thing that a person can do is, like, we often hear about buying a book, and you don't necessarily have to buy in bulk just one particular food item. You can buy in bulk in multiple different food items, and then you combine those food items to make a meal. That way that you can stretch what you buy. And so you don't have to buy frequently, and that can save you money, right? So that can be a solution towards you, towards the cost of healthy and unhealthy eating. Another thing is that you can do meal prep, get the children involved. This also ties back into what previous callers are mentioning. Involving the children into the kitchen and getting them involved in preparing their meals, let's say during the kind of Saturday or Sunday, that prepare that meal for the entire week. You already have a meal set up for that week. You don't necessarily have to say, okay, I don't have any today, let me go and buy some chafet or let me go get some fast food. Have something prepared.
Might as well, don't want to give any free advertisement to anybody.
Oh dear, yes, apologies.
Yeah. Let's take this call up. Welcome to Healthline. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Joseph and panel.
Good evening.
I'm listening to the program, and it is very interesting. I've been following all the, you know, different things I've been hearing. But don't you think, as a society, we have totally lost our way in terms of the way we feed our children and our families? So we're looking to make the change when they've already been seasoned into what they've been taught to want, taught to eat, instead of us, when they're small, you know, encouraging them as our parents would have done, and maybe not necessarily encouraging for us. It was, you either eat what you put there or you're going to starve. Right? I mean, nowadays we don't do that. But I think we need to go back to the days of, as someone said, you yourself said, we can shop around. And we have to get this notion out of our head about healthy eating is expensive. When we have markets, we can buy vegetables and things that are in season. When they're plentiful, we eat them, you know, we buy a lot. And, you know, we get accustomed to eating them, and we encourage, yes, our children are not as physical as we would have been when we were growing up and so on, but local juices, we talk about the things in the bottles, but I make homemade juices, fruits that are in season. When mangoes are in season, golden apples are in season, lemonade, you know, things like that. Not necessarily that they're loaded with sugar, because in my house we've grown accustomed that we're not using a lot of sugar or a lot of salt. But I'm just encouraging. I would like us to start with parents, the ones who are having babies now. Let's encourage them. Let's encourage our parents to feed our children healthy from birth.
Thank you so much, ma'am, and have a good night. You have another call on the line? Go ahead. Welcome to Healthline. You're on the air.
Good evening to you. You know, we have the developments now, right? And I believe where we have the gardens, the flower gardens, we can make them into community gardens, yeah? And mm-hmm. people in these developed areas can put their hand to the soil and make things work. And what can't hold into that space, and they have a little space around their place, they can actually plant, or they can use different containers, or they can do a little box garden or something like that. You plant a little lettuce, and they plant a little cabbage, and everybody in the, if there are 45 people in the community, you plant different stuff in small amounts, and you can exchange them, and those vegetables will help. And if you have fencing or whatever, you can plant like spinach and things and let it run on the fence. and you can share it. You don't have to get to go into the supermarket to buy all those expensive stuff. So you have to find ways and means to cut down. And you can have a buying club in the community where one body can actually come together and find out what is people's needs and put together a list, and everybody put a certain amount of money and you buy wholesale and you distribute. You don't think that's a good idea to cut down?
Right. See, yeah, you see, it is not to say healthy foods are expensive. It's just an excuse. And there's so many different things we can do. For example, if you go to the small vendor, you can negotiate. I do that. You say, I don't have, say, a pear cost $8. I only got $5. And they sell you that pear for $5. Instead of going to the big retailers, you can go to the street vendor. And you can bargain with them in the market. You can go and bargain. So it's just an excuse. And we can also look at food substitute in terms of certain imported cereals. We can have substitutes for that from our local products.
You don't have to look for those commercial cereals. We can find ways and means that we can get our fresh fruit and do a little fruit salad or whatever the case may be. We can use our pea and cucumber, and you know, we can make sure that we can balance our meals by using the local products that we have. You can go in the country and you can buy stuff, and you can bring down if you're living in the town and you don't have any area and stuff, because sometimes the people in the town area, they will grow a pumpkin vine on their rooftop. You understand? My grandmother, she used to grow pumpkin on her rooftop. And then my next grandmother, she had a kitchen garden. You know, well, in those days, you had enough space that you can actually have a kitchen garden. But nowadays, there's no much land space because the little space that they give you isn't very much for the house. And you don't have no room really to turn around on the outside. Yeah. So you got to find ways and means to do a little something. You can do a little greenhouse and make it a little taller. We hang a basket, some plants and stuff, and be creative.
Thank you so much, ma'am. You've made a very valuable contribution there. And so, any of our esteemed panelists want to chime in here and make some other contributions?
I think one thing I wanted to say with what the previous caller had said is I absolutely concur with what she said in relation to what we feed our children from the time they're born. Tell me the baby that comes out of the womb and the first thing they want is a soft drink. Those are things that we introduce into their diet. And then it's not, it goes beyond that. They do well at school, you know, maybe we take them for ice cream. These are behaviors that we teach children. So we have to be careful of, from the time they're born, what you feed them to the behaviors you associate with good things, and just simple things like that that on a regular day you may not consider, you may not even put much thought to, but they do have impacts. So from the time the child is born, maybe even before, you have to think about these things.
Yes, and one thing I would like to add is, like, I keep going back to it, but involving your children in the preparation or the acquisition of the foods, take them, as you said, to the vendors and bargain, show them that this is what you can do to get things a little cheaper, show them that this is where your food is coming from. Involve them in this process from young, and the children mimic what they see. So you have to give them the environment where they see getting healthy foods, either by at the vendor or in your own home garden. You have to show them you preparing these foods. Show them these behaviors from young. Start that practice young, and they will continue doing it.
Very great, very great, Miles. And I want to congratulate Miles for having his kitchen garden. That helps a great deal. We're coming around the home stretch, and we would like each of you to say in 30 seconds what your takeaway is from this discussion so far. We start with Miles.
Yes, one thing from what we have discussed in this panel, as well as what ecologists have come in, is that one thing that we need to involve, or one thing that we need to put a very firm emphasis on is parents, starting from young and involving their children in healthy eating practices. This is very important. It cannot be stressed enough. You can't, once you have a strong foundation, you will have a beautiful building.
Thank you. Abigail?
I'll echo what Miles said and add a little bit to it. So yes, you want the parents, but it also involves the schools. It involves the vendors outside of the schools. It involves what children have access to. So fighting the prevalence of child obesity in Barbados and in the Caribbean, it needs a holistic approach. It needs all persons to come on that. So I think that that's where we need to start. And that's where we've already started.
Stephanie?
Yes. So I believe my take home is we need to be aware of the foods we are consuming. And when we eat to bring nourishment to our bodies. And I want to give Barbados, if you will let me, just a little assignment. So the next time you're going into the supermarket or the market and you're putting packaged foods into your trolleys or your baskets, I want you to take a bit of time to look at what you're putting in your basket and ask yourself, is this bringing nourishment to my body? Is this going to make me healthy in the long run? A low sodium or a low salt food item is less than 140 milligrams per serving. So you can take a look. You said earlier in the program that, you know, rumor has it that there's a lot of sodium and salt in our biscuits and in our breads. So take a moment, flip the package, because we don't have the front of package just yet, but flip the package and see how many milligrams of sodium. Check and see if it's less than 140, and then decide whether or not you're still going to eat it. Same for sugar, less than 5 grams per serving is considered to be low sugar. And for fat, less than 7. So just take a moment, slow down when you're in the supermarket or when you're in the grocery, to have a look at what you're putting into your basket and trolley, and that is going to add to your health and add to your body in a nourishing and helpful way.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. Janelle?
Yes, I think all three, Mel, Abigail, and Stephanie, left such amazing final words, and I just want to emphasize all three for everyone. What I would say as well is just to make a small change. It does not have to be going cold turkey, drop all sugars, drop all drink, if you can make one change and build up.
Thank you so much, Janine. So if we were to encapsulate everything that was said tonight, it is that our young people deserve better. And this is an appeal to the adult population, our parents, do better by our young people, feed them and help them to eat healthier, and also shop around, choose your foods carefully, read the labels properly, and we will have a much healthier population, and the future will be much brighter. This has been Healthline, brought to you by the wishes of the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
And living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention. Please. All these sweeties on salty chips.
Them just give hypertension.
Got some old fashioned itch. Do or tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24/7.
Try on going your garden. I pick a fruit
or start farming, because the state of the health of summer we mind is alarming.
Jeez, bread. Real talk. that gear I want to sell, isn't it?